look, nothing personal against these guys, but Scott Horton's my guy, and I'm simply not going to allow him to be criticized in this manner without responding. So I do want to play this. I think we can probably get through it pretty quickly. I listened to, I think, most of it, and seemed like it wasn't anything too challenging to SmackDown. But I wanted to be on record responding to this, because if people are going to play clips from our podcast and go after our best foreign policy guy, I think there should be a response. And honestly, if I'm just being completely honest, I think the work Scott Horton does is too important for him to need to waste his time with this. So let me just handle it, and then we can move on back to fixing the world. Okay, so here is the No Agenda podcast with Adam Curry as they start discussing the great Scott Horton.
Curry, it's kind of interesting because this, again, is more whining and moaning and groaning from
NPR.
From NPR.
All right.
I also have This Week in Trump. I got some Scott Horton stuff. Scott Horton stuff is interesting.
What do you want to do? You want to do? I mean, I've had enough NPR whining. What's you want
okay,
to do?
Okay, well, Scott, this is this. Now, Scott, this is on a podcast. This is Scott Horton, who's a writer. He did this book called Provoked. And Scott, he's a lefty, but he's of Trump's. He voted for Trump because he's done a lot of books. You can look him up.
Okay, so look, man, wrong. Scott is not a lefty. He did not vote for Donald Trump. So you start this, you go, oh, this is actually really interesting. I just never quite understand these people who, like, they launch into a topic on a podcast and they have not familiarized themselves with the most, like, one Google search of Scott Horton and you'd be like, oh, he started the Libertarian Institute. So, like, okay, that you would probably find that out. In fact, I think one of them is Googling as the other one's talking, because they come to this in a second. But just so you guys know, no, Scott is not a lefty. No, Scott did not vote for Donald Trump. Like, both. So you're just starting with, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Not the best start. Let's keep playing.
On Amazon. But he votes for Trump because he thinks the left is doing nothing but lying to him. And he sees it as such an insult. He has to vote for Trump, even though he hates him.
The trolls are saying he's...
So the trolls are saying he's a libertarian is the next line. That's really funny. That. So someone corrects them there. They didn't even Google it to find themselves. Just one of their own listeners is like, the guy's a libertarian. Okay, first of all, just think about how Brain did that. So he goes, he's a lefty, but he voted for Trump because he says the left never stops lying to him. Well, that doesn't really sound like the way lefties usually talk. And no, he didn't vote for Donald Trump. So he voted for Donald Trump because you're already wrong, because you just don't know what the fuck you're talking about. There were some of us libertarians who broke and voted for Donald Trump. I was one of them. Scott was not. So, you know... Just know something before you come at someone, especially before you come at someone as fucking brilliant as Scott Horton. Know the first goddamn thing.
It's amazing. I understand going, hey, I'm not too familiar with this person.
Of course.
Let's get into what they said. And we do that quite a bit. I'm more guilty of that when you bring something up.
Oh, I'm doing it right now. Literally right now. Yeah. I don't know anything about Adam Curry, but I'm not like coming out going like, here's the problem with Adam Curry. He's a Buchananite paleo conservative who voted for Bill Clinton. Because, like, none of that's true, and why would I just say that? Like,
and to speak so authoritatively to go, I know that he's a leftist, and he specifically voted for this reason.
Yeah, not even, you're right, not even the humility to go, like, I think the guy's a leftist, I believe he voted for Donald Trump. You're just saying it, like, these are the facts, and you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. It's so goddamn embarrassing. All right, let's keep playing.
Libertarian.
Oh, yeah, that's what he calls himself.
Okay.
Yeah. Libertarian by any other libertarian. Yes, he's a libertarian technically. And he's one of those libertarian, you know, everyone's a libertarian once in their life.
That's like, why isn't libertarian someone who doesn't want to admit they're Republican?
Or they don't want, I don't know what looking back on it, I have no idea what a libertarian's supposed to be. It's like they want to legalize drugs and people should be free to have sex with whoever they want.
All right. So let's pause it right
there. I think
that's
the whole thing.
By the way, this is just true in general in political commentary. Whenever you say, you know, I have no idea. I don't even know what I really even have no idea. That's not the brag you think it is. That's not really, you're just saying you have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. And so you're reduced to the most pathetic of strawmans of, oh, a libertarian's a Republican who doesn't want to admit that he's a Republican. Oh, a libertarian, what did he say? A libertarian, they just want to legalize drugs and say you should be free to have sex with who you want to. Well, like, yes, we do believe in legalizing drugs. That's not something Scott Horton has ever specialized or talked about too much, I don't think. But that is true. That's the libertarian position. We also have arguments for why we believe that's the case. What is this comment about you should be free to have sex with whoever you want? First of all, are you arguing people shouldn't be free to have sex with whoever they want? I mean, assuming we're not talking underage children here, obviously none of us agree with that. But are you arguing that, like, should orgies be illegal or should homosexuality be illegal? Like, what's the counter argument to that? Actually, that's not just a libertarian position. That is just every American doesn't really believe. I mean, okay, outside the tiniest sliver of fringes, it's pretty much the consensus in America that voluntary sexual acts between consenting adults should be legal. Whether they should be praised or should be promoted might be more of a contentious issue, but should be, like, what? Are you differentiating yourself? No, no, no. All you're trying to do here is poison the well because you know nothing. You don't know who, you just found out the guy's a libertarian because one of your listeners told you that. You didn't know who he voted for. You know nothing. So you'll just poison the well by being like, he's one of these sex freaks. You know, he's one of, whereas I challenge you, find me one example ever in the, I think the Scott Horton show is up to 6,000 episodes. Like, he's been doing the show for a very long time. And then all his interviews on all the other shows, Scott Horton has done like 100,000 hours of podcasting. He's written 3 incredible books. Then he had a couple other books that were like transcribed of podcast interviews. In all of his work, find me one time where he talks about weird sex stuff. That's your challenge. He, like, there's just never a topic that's got, he's a foreign policy specialist. Occasionally he'll do an interview about like other libertarian issues that he cares about. There's a few domestic issues that he's kind of known for. Like, he's known for being a real critic of Waco. You know, he was against burning babies alive, Ruby Ridge, and he's talked about OKC a bit, but like, this sex, this is just nothing but like, let me get you to have a preconceived bias about who this guy is. And here, we're racing up against time, so let's keep playing.
He's on CNN all the time?
I've never seen him before.
Okay, maybe.
Oh, yeah, guys, Scott Horton is on CNN all the time. Were you guys unaware of Scott's numerous CNN appearances? Scott's never been on CNN. He's not a leftist. He didn't vote for Trump. He's never been on CNN. Like, at what point, by the way, if you're the other guys, if you're Adam Curry and you're listening to me respond to you, right here, wouldn't this just be the point where you go, all right, I was kind of speaking out of my ass. You know what I mean? Like, when you start with that, what was, you're just objective claims, every single one of them wrong. How about you don't know what the fuck you're talking about? You brought up a guy who you know nothing about and you're pretending that you know anything about him. Let's keep playing.
He might be. I don't watch CNN. So let's listen to here. So he's got a lot of tidbits that are interesting. And this is him on Kushner.
He was reaffirmed in that thinking.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong one. Here we go. On Kushner. Here we go.
And does Donald Trump know any reason why in the world he shouldn't just let Netanyahu, as he said, quote, finish the job, is what he told Netanyahu the other day. Well, what do you mean by that? How about, well, we finished cleansing all of historic Palestine and we'll call it Greater Israel. How about that for finish the job? And what does Donald Trump really care? His son-in-law, in, I guess people don't know this. I don't know. Seems like they should talk about this every day, all the time. His son-in-law, Jared Kushner, you know, the guy who was in charge of his entire Middle East policy for 4 years, is Benjamin Netanyahu's godson. The whole time when he was a young boy growing up in New York City, when Benjamin Netanyahu would come to town, he had to sleep on the couch because Benjamin Netanyahu would sleep in his bed. Google that.
Google it.
Okay, that's who Jared Kushner is. He's an Israeli agent.
No,
he's an
please.
Israeli psionym. He's here to represent the interests of a foreign power, and he's got Donald Trump completely pwned, like the gimp in the box on Pulp Fiction. Pwned. So Donald Trump can dress up like Pat Buchanan all he wants. He's not Pat Buchanan. He's a Zionist, and when you're a Zionist, you can't be America first.
All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today.
Hold on a second.
They almost got our sponsor. There was, by the way. Hold on. Let's
people losing their ever-loving minds over Trump. You know, so Netanyahu was signing something. I don't know. They probably signed, you know, whoever is going to own Gaza, whatever. And the president pulls out the chair and then pushes it in as Netanyahu sits down. And the online rage when something like this. Trump is Netanyahu's slave.
Yeah, so let's pause for a second here. God, man, no agenda. I mean, listen, I don't know about your podcast. I've never listened to your podcast. I'm not saying you have a bad podcast. Maybe it's a good podcast. I don't know. This is so goddamn cringy and embarrassing. Okay, Rob, this is how bad it is. Okay, because literally all the stuff I just said to you about how much they get it wrong. And I didn't even really know. So I'm listening to this clip first. And then when I hear me start reading the ad, I'm like, oh yeah, this was on our show. I didn't even realize they were playing an episode from our show. So now he responds and he goes, look, dude, this is what happens. Trump has Netanyahu over. He pulls the chair, puts it back in. He says, hey, maybe we take over Gaza, floats out this idea. And now everyone's losing their mind about how he's an Israeli spy. Wrong. I haven't had Trump on since that. I haven't had Scott Horton on since Trump floated out that proposal. That's not what we were talking about, dude. You're wrong on everything. This isn't an opinion. It isn't like, I think you got this wrong. Objectively, you've gotten it all wrong so far. All wrong. Now, if you wanted to pick apart one thing that Scott Horton said there, you know, he's being hyperbolic, not literal. So when he says he's his godson, Jews don't have godsons. But you can read in the New York Times about how Jared Kushner got kicked out of his own bed when Bibi Netanyahu came to stay at his house. He's right about this. So after you guys getting everything objectively wrong, you just sit there and giggle. Like, this is what they're all reduced. It's another Jonah Goldberg. They're reduced to being a 16-year-old girl. They just giggle through what he's saying. They're not arguing with anything he said. They're arguing that he's just reacting to Donald Trump's Gaza proposal. Well, he's reacting to it 3 weeks before he made the proposal. So no, how do you not just feel stupid? I'm sorry. Maybe there's some people out there who like this show. Maybe they make some good points on some other things. I have absolutely no idea. I have nothing but respect for all former MTV VJs. Long live the great Kennedy. But this is embarrassing, dude. You've got this all wrong objectively. Let's just play the end of it, and then I'm going to have to wrap up here.
Boy, look at him. He's holding his chair for him. I'm like, Trump? He's a hospitality guy. He makes sure you have mints on your pillow at night. I'm sure that, but everyone's like, oh, well, no.
Our take on this is from the get-go, is from the intelligence side, which is that we run Israel. They don't run us.
Exactly.
And once you get past this, what this guy just, oh, he's a spy for Israel, blah, blah, blah. That's bull crap. But if you want to believe that because you're a libertarian writer, even though you don't even notice what you're writing, for example, the book he just came out with, which was Provoked.
Or if you're on Mastodon, yes.
Or if you're, yeah. Mm-hmm. The book about Provoked is about how we provoked the Russians to take over Ukraine. It's got all the stuff we've talked about on this show for years. You know, the Maidan, the whole thing.
Well, you know, that's what a Zionist would say, John.
And so, yes, exactly. And so the way these guys don't have, they don't know who, they think the tail's wagging the dog. Well, no, the dog is wagging the tail. So let's get over that. But okay, you can think what you want. Meanwhile, so his only argument was interesting.
Here, just pause it real quick. His only argument here is that he's not arguing with anything Scott actually said. He's not really making an argument. When he's saying the tail's wagging the dog, no, actually the dog's wagging the tail. He's just saying that, like, America is controlling Israel. Israel isn't controlling America. Again, you can't really debate with any of the specifics that Scott's arguing with here. And there are lots of examples where America is actually, you know, to some degree, controlling Israel or exuding influence on Israel. The elections, I think, in Gaza in 2005 was not a neocon Zionist project. I think that was much more of Condoleezza Rice spreading democracy to the world type project. There are examples where, but there's clearly a million examples too of where, no, actually Israel has, the tail has been wagging the dog, and where there are presidents of the United States of America, multiple presidents who want a certain policy done and cannot get their way because actually Israel's influence is stronger than the president's in some ways. So again, all just not, after getting everything wrong and not knowing what you're talking about, now they're just making an assertion that's not even really a 100% correct assertion. When he said Scott was just making the points of all the things they've talked about on the show and they've talked about Maidon, it's like, okay, so Scott's also been making those points for many years before he wrote the book about it. I don't, again, that's just not a point. Then I guess you would say you agree on this. Anyway, let's keep playing.
Think from this guy that thinks a little more. He's irked about Woodward, who is another
spy
agent.
Spook, yes.
Oh, pause it for
and
a second.
I thought this was worth.
Bob Woodward came from naval intelligence and as a young man in his 20s was given the Watergate story. He was given the biggest story in the world. As a young 20-something-year-old right out of naval intelligence, is it that crazy to refer to him as a spook or a spy? I don't know. Again, they never have an argument. It's always just a mocking tone of voice. Like, I don't know any of the facts. I don't have an argument, but I'm just going to kind of laugh through everything you say, repeat back to you. The name of the book is Provoked. Is that supposed to substitute for an intelligent thought? Because it's not doing it for me. All right, let's keep playing. And then
it's listening to, and this is Scott Provoked on Woodward. It's a two-parter.
He was reaffirmed in that thinking, watching the fall of Afghanistan and how indecisive Biden was in finishing out the withdrawal.
He's talking
there.
About Putin.
Yeah. Not withdrawing at all, but just botching it the way he did. And, you know, the Bob Woodward book, the new Bob Woodward book, has quotes from the high-level intelligence officials saying that they assessed that they even claimed, I think, to have sources in Russia saying this was part of their thinking, was that Afghanistan made Biden look so weak that they thought, yeah, we could definitely press our advantage now. But the problem is you got to throw out that whole Bob Woodward book because he's got a big fake quote of Sergei Lavrov on page 88. And then the whole book, the whole point of a Bob Woodward book is he has quotes from people that nobody else can talk to, but he gets interviews with. But so if he's lying about a quote that I can check on the OSCE website, then what is he saying when he's quoting Blinken and Sullivan and the rest of these people? Like, if they don't dispute all the quotes, then I'm supposed to accept them or something. I don't know. I just can't. I started to write a note in my book because I had actually, you know what, man, in that book, there's all kinds of quotes of Biden saying how right I am about everything. Like, I started quoting some good stuff in there. And Avril Haines, the DNI, I had them admitting, oh, yeah, Horton's right after all, blah, 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 all over the place. And I had to cut all those quotes out. Once I got to the part where Woodward's lying to me, I started to write in the footnotes, well, you got to kind of take these with a grain of salt. And I'm like, well, I can't put quotes that you got to take with a grain of salt in the book. We're like, I got to disclaim, even though he is the most prominent journalist in America. But like, he just happened to have a quote in there. I happen to be writing a book about this. I have the Lavrov quote already. I know what he said. So when I read the lie version of it, I'm like, hey, I know that quote. And that's not right.
I can't wait to subscribe to this podcast.
Yeah.
Wow. Riveting stuff.
Can you like maybe focus a little more instead of, you know, yammering like that? But okay. So the second part of it, he explains a little more in detail. But then there's a kind of a kicker about Amazon taking his commentary off the site.
And so it's page 88, if anybody wants to check this out. And also Amazon removed my review about this, saying that I claimed I got an inauthentic copy of the book. That's not what I said. I said there's a fake quote on page 88. So wow. I had a great one-star review on there, and they took it down. And there's now all the one-star reviews are, my book was torn or whatever, and no criticism of the actual substance of the thing. But if anyone wants to check, the quote is the playing with fire quote of Lavrov on page 88. If anybody, I'm not selling it. If anybody already has the new Woodward book, and then go and check the OSCE websites from December, I'm pretty sure December 2nd, 2021, but certainly December, 2021. And you'll find the quote from Sergei Lavrov playing with fire. And you'll see how Bob Woodward turns the meaning of the quote entirely upside down to, he's saying essentially, it's so reckless the way you guys completely disregard our opinion about your expansion of the NATO alliance. And then he butchers the quote into saying, Lavrov is saying that America has no right to decide who should be in its alliance or not, which of course makes no sense whatsoever because that's not what he said. The whole thing is stupid. But anyway, point just being, you can't trust Bob Woodward to tell you a quote, right?
Wow. Okay. That was revealing. Season of reveal.
Well, of course, we've been saying this for what?
Since day one.
Since Legacy of, not Legacy of Ashes, but Family of Secrets.
Yes, Family of Secrets. That's right.
Which was brought out that Bob Woodward came out of, that was Navy intelligence, I think.
Yeah.
And he's basically
a... mocked the idea of calling him a spook or a spy. So that's your criticism after all of that. Scott Horton is sitting here on our show. By the way, yeah, you should subscribe to the show. You could learn something. I know it's, you don't like when people are ranting or something like that. I'm sorry, we're not just making bullshit up and claiming we know stuff about people and are objectively wrong. Scott's going, literally what he's saying here is just talking about what a meticulous, like, writer he is and how he's an honest enough actor that he goes, look, there was this Bob Woodward book that had all these great quotes that was, like, proving my case. He goes, but then I found this one Sergei Lavrov quote, and he's totally lying about it. And so here's the real one. Here's the one. And then he goes, once he does that, I go, I can't use any of these because I can't trust you're not a liar. And their big critique at the end of that is just, we've been saying he was a liar for a long time. Okay, fine. So you've been saying it for a long time. And now someone far smarter than you, who's a far better researcher, is saying it to more people. Seems like a win. But listen, I'll say this. You don't have to subscribe to the podcast, but no agenda, guys. Open invite. If you want to come on the show, we can argue about Scott Horton.